Good morning, everyone. Just going over to YouTube. Just bear with me for a minute. I'll try to get simulcasting this morning if possible. Lemon lime water tea. It's very good for you. It beats the coffee. YouTube's a little slow in coming on this morning. I usually do YouTube first, but I decided to switch it over since I've been having some challenges with Facebook, so I put Facebook on first this morning, and so we'll see if this works out. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning here in Pineville, Missouri. And it's the 17th of August, 2020, Monday morning. Hope you're having a good week so far. Well, good morning, YouTube, as well. Well, this morning, I have a question. I don't know if you considered this or not, but why is it that the subject of predestination is so controversial? In fact, why is the subject of predestination often totally ignored? You ever thought about that? The doctrine of predestination and election. Man has been taught from womb to the tomb that he determines his own destiny. He's in charge of his own life. And he determines his own spiritual nature. He determines his career. He determines his finances. He determines his health. He determines his whether he's married or single. He determines where he lives. He determines, even many people say, when he lives and when he dies. This is a strong delusion that they would believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Man is not a determiner of anything. God is the determiner of everything. We used to sing a song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." You don't hear that song sung very much today. They've revamped that song, and it now says, "I've got the whole world in my hands." Well, I used to hold to that philosophy. I went to an organization called Success Motivation Institute. And they taught how to divide all your life into categories and set short-term, daily, short-term goals and long-term goals for your life. Plan your whole life out. And I learned very quickly by the Spirit of God that it was a sham. It was a sham. Man does not control his own destiny. You can set all the goals you want, but God is the one who's in charge. God holds the bounds of our habitation. The habitation of our very place we live is in God's hands. Well, there's many, many Bible references that dispel the very notion that one is in control. Probably one of the most gripping verses for me in the Bible can be found in the 6th chapter of John. And it's a very interesting way that God revealed himself to me in terms of election and predestination. We can look at this verse, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What a verse. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The reason he won't cast us out is because we've been given to him by the Father, and he will not reject his Father's gift to him. Even though the second part of that verse is very precious, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, the first part of the verse is much more precious to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He also says in verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Wow. Verse 40, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath learned and hath heard and hath learned of me. Let me start over. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's predestination. Jesus Christ is teaching predestination. He's teaching that there are a group of people that have been given to him by the Father, and the Father has drawn them to himself, and that they have everlasting life. We also see many, many other scriptures that allude to this predestination, this subject that is off limits for many people talking about it. Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That's predestination, that's election. The word predestination means to predetermine before it happens that it will happen. To predetermine before it happens that it will happen. We've also been predestinated unto adoption. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, not the will of man. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He's got the whole world in his hands. A lot of people don't like this doctrine. Why is it? Because they want to think they're in control. Verse 11, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's pretty strong teaching on predestination, is it not? Ephesians 1:11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So much for will worship. So much for the lies of free will. So much for the Arminian Roman Catholic doctrine of the free will of man. That's why I wrote this book, Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? And the answer to that question is no, you do not control your own destiny. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, it quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace Are you saved through faith and not of yourselves? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, that is the doctrine of predestination. Predetermined beforehand what happens to all of his creation. All things were created by him and for him. We're told in Colossians 1. He says in verse 16 of Colossians 1, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." He's got the whole world in his hands. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Well, we also see the doctrine of predestination taught in Romans 8, don't we? Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're being led by the Spirit, you're a child of God. End of story. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Romans 8, 16. "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." It's election, it's predestination, called according to his purpose. "For whom he did foreknow, he knew us before we were born." Foreknowledge. "He also did predestinate," predetermined beforehand, "to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate," predetermined beforehand, "them he also called." Remember what happened to Samuel when he kept hearing the voice of God? "Those whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." That's called a golden chain of salvation. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The whole world might come against you. But if you're given to Christ by the Father, nothing can separate you from his love. "He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We've been blessed with all things, we're told in Ephesians 1, in spiritual places. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Not some things, all things. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" There's election. It's predestination. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We already talked about several times on this program about the reality of the fact that God has loved some and hated others. We find that in the 9th chapter of Romans, which is a reaffirmation of this great doctrine of election and predestination. Romans 9, verse 10, for not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. The 9th chapter of Romans is probably one of the most controversial chapters in the whole Bible. The 17th chapter of John, this is the high priestly prayer. Jesus Christ praying to his Father, and we see another example of this great doctrine taught through the prayer of Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of 17 chapter of John says, Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Nothing there about the free will of man. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Same thing he's repeating that he told us in John 6:37. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Knowledge of God is a gift from God. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And he's not just speaking of the disciples. He's talking about all of those that God has given him. He's manifested his name to his elect. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. All of those given to Christ are given to Christ of the Father. I pray for them, verse 9. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, election. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in him. Christ is glorified in his elect. Christ is glorified in those that the Father has given him. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. That's why the doctrine of predestination, election, is hated so much. That's why they're hated so much. Because they are of this world. The elect are not of this world. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. But we've been sent into the world to proclaim the truth that I'm teaching this morning. Well, this is the reality of the doctrine of election and predestination. Christ was the greatest teacher on both of those great principles. Christ taught that man was born and conceived in sin, totally depraved and alienated from God. God in His mercy and grace was given, a group of people was given to Him by the Father to come and die on a cruel and rugged cross of Calvary to atone for their sins. He came to save His people from their sins, and He did it, and He said it was finished on the cross. And He teaches in a very clear, concise way unconditional election of His people. And that He died for particular people. He didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinner to repentance. And that all that the Father gave Him will come to Him. That's irresistible grace. And that they've been given eternal life, and that's the final perseverance of the saints. Well, may the good Lord be with you this morning, and let us always remember these great doctrines of predestination and election. God bless.